Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study every single day, 7 days a week, only about 13, 14 minutes, but it keeps us in God's Word every day. Now, that helps us to stay strong in our faith and even grow stronger because, as we keep emphasizing, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. That's how faith develops within us, as we learn God's Word, understand it, believe it, and start to make the proper applications to our lives. But also, it keeps us, being in God's Word every day like this, helps keep us focused on our relationship with God and upon our spiritual lives. Help people in your life make that change, move in that direction by getting them into God's Word through these studies every day. Share through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. Make that commitment and help somebody today. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're talking about some realities of death. Now, the first reality that we have established is death itself. It is appointed for man to die once, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. The second reality is judgment to follow, the beginning of eternity for us on an individual basis. The rest of that verse, but after this, the judgment. So it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. We will all stand before the judgment seat of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on that day when he comes back again to call mankind to judgment, to call the saved to be with him in heaven, and for all of us to stand before his judgment seat. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We quoted Mark Twain. He said, "Let us endeavor so to live that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry." Now, that is an intriguing thought and image. How about you? Are you living in that kind of way? That when you die, people all around you are going to be sorry to see you having gone? You're going to live in such a way that even work associates, neighbors, people you do business with, you know, Mark Twain says, even the undertaker will be sorry to see you go. Are you leaving that kind of legacy by the way you live your life now? Are you developing that kind of relationship with people all around you that they will truly be sorry to see you go? I told the story last time about a pauper's funeral that I had the opportunity to perform. And that was a man whom I had known years before but had lost contact with over the years. But he died and was buried, I think we could say, absolutely alone. Now, he was not alone when he died because his wife shot him to death, because he was coming at her and her mother with a baseball bat, threatening their lives, and so somehow she had a gun and she shot him. And so when it came for his time for his funeral, she was not there, her mother was not there, her father was not there, none of the family was there, nobody he had known was there except me. I was called upon to perform the funeral service at the gravesite, and he was to be buried in a pauper's field. It was to be a pauper's funeral. The only other two people there were the mortician, who did not know him, and the maintenance man at the cemetery, who made sure the graves were dug properly, knew where everything was. He did not know him either. Now, that man lived a life that did not fulfill in the remotest what Mark Twain was trying to encourage us in his statement. Let us endeavor so to live that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry. Funerals, I suppose, in some way, some semblance of funerals, have been done since the beginning of mankind. Funerals have been going on, I would suspect, virtually all the way through the existence of humanity. After the first martyr, that is Christian martyr, Stephen, gave his life for the Lord, Luke records that devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. In other words, they expressed great sorrow that this brother in Christ was dead. Acts chapter 8 in verse 2. Funerals, you know, they're not really for the dead person. I can't tell you how many funerals I've spoken at through all of my years of preaching the gospel full time. I don't know that I could go back and even recount all of them. But the person who has died is dead. Now, if they've been cremated, well, their body has been burned up. If they're lying in a casket in front of all those gathered for that funeral service, that's just their physical shell that no longer houses their real life, their soul. That's a physical shell there. That person is not there anymore. That body in that casket is a physical image of the person who had been alive before they died physically. But that person's not there anymore. Funerals are really more for the living than for the dead. It's for us who remember that person. And as was the case with Stephen, those men who carried him to his burial and made great lamentation over him. We're sorry. At least the living should live in such a way that those who survive his or her passing sorrow their death. We're sorry because we're missing the person who has died. We wish he or she could have been with us longer in good health, vital in their physical lives and in their spiritual lives. But the person who died, they're not there at that funeral. It's just a shell of an image of them there. If they're lying in the casket, if they've been cremated, all we're doing is looking at pictures. But we who are still alive, we who survive, family, friends, loved ones, that's who the funeral is really for. And it should make an impression upon us to get ready for that second reality of death, and that's the judgment. Words spoken in the hour of death can encourage a person unprepared for death to obey the gospel, to come to his Lord or her Lord before they actually die. And they can strengthen and the resolve of the living to remain faithful. When we think about that image that is portrayed for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, where it talks about the Lord Jesus coming in flaming fire with his angels, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and upon those who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We don't want that reality. We want the reality where the Lord comes to call us home, to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. As he told the apostles in the night of his betrayal in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the reality we want. We want to be there with him. We want to be able to receive that crown of life that he promises to those who are faithful in their lives before him. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now, there's a difference in a Christian funeral and in a secular funeral. If we think about what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, beginning with verse 13, we read this, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that is, those who have died physically, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, somebody who is not faithful to God through Jesus Christ, when they die physically, they have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, or those who have died in Christ. So the one who has been faithful to God through Jesus Christ, lived by his teachings, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14 and verse 15, we can look forward to our physical death as the transition or the the doorway to eternal life with Him in heaven. For this we say, by one word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, who have already died, in other words. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who have already died faithful to the Lord, they will rise first to be with Him. Then we who are alive, we who might still be alive when He comes again in that final day of judgment, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, with those who have gone on before us, faithful, dedicated Christians. We will be with them on that final day of judgment. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. The funeral of a faithful Christian has that kind of promise, that kind of expectation, that kind of hope, that the funeral of a person who has not been a faithful Christian is absolutely absent that hope. Absolutely absent that hope. Now, this reflects Scripture's teaching. There are some things that death can do, such as remove daily contact with a loved one, trigger regrets, and close the door of opportunity to change a person's relationship with God. Jesus changed His people's view of death. Those who had once been all their lifetimes subject to bondage, they don't see death, or they should not see death, as the end and as destruction, but they should see death as a graduation to a better life, a transition into an eternal life, where the book of Revelation tells us there is no more dying, there is no more sickness, there is no more sadness, no sorrow, no tears, no more of those negatives. But eternal life in a place where none of that is reality. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who are not living their lives in dedication to Christ, according to His teachings, they cannot look forward to that kind of reality. Death is coming. That's one reality of death. Judgment comes next, and that's a second reality of death. And then the consequences. And we'll start to look at those next time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for giving us the opportunity to be with You in heaven through all of eternity in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Guide us to come to You through Him, Your way, so we don't need to fear physical death, so we can look forward to eternity with You, eternal life. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.